Hello and welcome to the Ghoul Squad podcast. Hello and welcome to the Ghoul Squad podcast, everybody. I'm Keegan Preslak.
I'm E motherfucking dog, Eric Hoff.
Great start already, and welcome to a very special episode.
Like Christmas and shit.
Yes, of the Ghoul Squad podcast. This is going to be a full review of the 2017 film, It.
Now, this is something we've been wanting to do.
Yes.
I remember when Covenant came out, we talked about trying to do a review episode, but for whatever reason...
Yeah, it just didn't happen. Yeah. We're lazy, number one.
True. But here we are. We're finally here. Our first review episode of It.
Yes. So we're going to have a couple things on this episode. Number one, we're going to do a tiny bit of what we've been watching. Eric has a small Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes.
Correct.
And I actually think that's it. Then it'll just be the full review of It. First, we will do a non-spoiler section review where we'll talk about the film in general, how we felt about it, whether we liked it or not. And then we're going to blow the floodgates open and have a full spoiler discussion for the rest of the podcast.
For the miniseries and the new film.
Right. So please.
Easy wants to talk both.
But we will for sure have a warning before we do that. So right now you're fine. If you haven't seen It or the miniseries, you can listen all the way. You will be warned.
I'll tell you what. Your time would be much better spent if you just went to go watch that movie than listen to us.
That's true. That is very true. In fact, just shut this off.
Correct.
Even if you're not watching that.
Right.
And go outside. Do something else.
Go outside.
Having said like all that, hello, Eric, Mr. Coffins, Eric Coffins.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? How is the Postal Service going? I just want to ask you about it.
It sucks. Recently, because we recently started doing Sunday Amazon delivery.
As well as walking routes, which you spoke about on the last episode.
So it just kind of sucks working on Sundays. I had so many goddamn packages just on Sunday.
That sucks.
But other than that, things have been tight. Been skating a bunch. Recently picked up Halo again. The hype of Destiny 2.
Yes.
Has me wanting to play a multiplayer game, so I've just gone back to Halo. And
smart idea. Saves money, time, energy.
So E-Dog's been great. Tell me about yourself.
Well, similar to what you're saying, I still work at my hotel, and it's still the exact same.
But
I'm playing a lot of Destiny 2.
Oh, so you are playing.
Oh, dude, I it's been nonstop. Like, today, it was down all day for maintenance, and I was, like, itching the whole time. And then I get a text from Eric, hey, Dom, ready to record the pod? And I'm like, God damn it.
See, I was hoping Keegan would say no.
No, I know. But, yeah, I've just been playing a lot of Destiny 2. That's pretty much
it. So you haven't been watching too many films?
No, I have not.
Is that fair? Okay.
That is fair. But we do have a quick couple what we've been watching things.
Correct.
And I think you want to go first.
E-Dog will go first.
So Eric, Mr. Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes.
Yes.
What have you
Easy,
been watching?
E-Dog.
Yes.
The names continue. First thing that I recently watched was Arrow's release of Reanimator. This is a film I've seen a bunch. This is a film that I love, which I'm sure everybody loves. But
excited to hear about it, though, because it's a pretty big release from them.
What sold me on this Blu-ray was the integral cut was included, and I didn't even know what the fuck the integral cut was until I read about it. When the film was released for TV, the violence, the gore, the nudity was cut.
And, all the good stuff.
Correct. And to maintain a feature-length running time, they shot new additional dialogue.
Right.
And what the integral cut is those new scenes shot for TV along with your violence, gore, and nudity.
See, I'm interested to see what you thought about this because you're usually a shorter cut guy. You want everything to be real short.
This is true.
So how was this?
Oh, what excited me was like I immediately recognized the new shit.
Like, that's tight, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like... And it didn't feel... like jarring to me. It wasn't like this is out of place. Like I thought it flowed really well.
Like it was just more of the movie, basically.
Right, exactly. However, if I had to pick between the uncut and the integral cut,
yeah,
Doc, give me the uncut. It's shorter. I got my titties and I got my gore, and that's all I really want. Do I need more dialogue?
I thought the integral cut had the gore in it as well, does it not?
No, that was cut.
Oh, excuse me.
The integral cut has it.
Has both, right?
Has both.
Yes.
Right. But I'm saying if I had to pick between those two...
You just watch the shorter one with the gore and everything.
Correct.
Yep.
Right. So, Reanimator is already a perfect film.
Mm-hmm.
I would say watch it if you're a fan of the film and you want more of those characters, because those characters are awesome. But ultimately, I don't think I'd ever watch the Integral Cut again.
But it's like you got to see it on that blue. Like, I mean,
oh yeah, and that was another thing. Like, it looked great.
Yeah,
like it didn't look like it was too different. Help me out.
Prince,
right? Exactly. Cut. Exactly.
Yeah, I really want to get it, but not as much for the Integral Cut as they did a new 4K scan
right
on Reanimator. So I really, really want to check that out.
And what I'm also super stoked about is it came with the comic book adaptation of Reanimator. Whenever they released Bride, they released the prequel comic book to Reanimator. And that was just a ton of fun to read. So I'm excited that I have another Reanimator comic to read. So I'm looking forward to that. So far, that set is awesome.
It's great. And really all we need now, I mean, Reanimator was out before, but it wasn't done right. Now it's been done right. Bride has been done right. We need Beyond.
And you know what? Beyond's kind of but I would love if it got like a Blu-ray release and like especially blown out how Arrow has done the OG and Bride.
Yeah. But I think Beyond is owned by Lionsgate, which would fall under Vestron. So it won't look good, number one. But I actually saw Beyond Reanimator recently. Only about like 6 or 7 months ago, and I loved it. Like
I agree. Gag is great.
Yeah, there was great effects. Like Herbert West is still playing like the character perfectly, so like it just felt like another sequel to me. And I was concerned, yes, but he's Herbert West, right?
Right. Sure.
I'm sorry, the character is played well. So, anyways, yeah, it's Beyond Reanimator's type, but you're talking about the Arrow set of Reanimator,
right? I'm itching to rewatch Beyond Reanimator now, just because I had so much fun revisiting Reanimator. It's been a minute since I've seen Beyond.
I feel like I watched it on some like
Shudder.
I feel like I watched it. Maybe it was Shudder, but it also
I remember
could have
you
been
like
Crackle.
Telling me that you were kind of like, eh.
It might have been Crackle. I don't remember.
Like due to the quality of the film, like picture wise,
the way it looked. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I'm Kiki's a complainer about the way stuff looks.
Yeah.
But so that is the Reanimator box set from
Awesome.
Arrow.
Awesome. Yeah. And the next thing I've been watching that I am so fucking excited about is season 2 of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. Now, you still haven't seen the first season.
No. And let me just defend that real quick.
Please do.
What it is for me is like, I want to see things. This is ridiculous. I understand this.
They're happening?
I want to see things so bad that I delay seeing them because I'm so excited about them that like, I want to make sure it's in the right context, in the right day. Like, I want to have a day to do it. And then I just delay it and delay it and delay it. And then I never watch it, which is ridiculous. But that's
a little
kind of how bad I want to see it. I haven't seen it. It's ridiculous. Please tell me about season 2.
I couldn't, like, encourage you more to watch season 1 simply so you can get to season 2.
Okay.
And that goes for our listeners. It's fucking Evil Dead times 10. It's Evil Dead on steroids, on crack. It's that universe just, like, amplified. It's so fucking fun. I love that that they've decided to take it like more like with vulgarity, just with like cursing and the gore. Like, that must be a pain in the ass to shoot that series, just because I'm sure like every single day on the set you're just covered in fucking gunk and goo, and goddamn, it looks so great. But just the humor, there's a fucking episode that I want to tell you about so bad. But I don't want to spoil it for
Please
you.
Please don't.
It's so fucking cool that, like, I was, like, giggling with excitement by, like, how excited I was by what I was seeing.
Right.
It was so fucking cool, dude. Season 2, that's like, you know, I'm not up to date with Twin Peaks. I'm not watching Game of Thrones. But, man, season 2 of Ash vs. Evil Dead is fucking phenomenal.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, this is how ridiculous it is. I own the first season
Please,
of Ash vs. Evil Dead, but I haven't watched it. And I don't know. I just want to be, like, it's ridiculous. I just need to fucking put it in and watch it.
I remember, you know, it aired on TV. And then when the Blu-ray was coming out for season 1, I remember being so excited because it's like, it's a fucking sequel to Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
One of my favorite films ever, period. One of everybody's favorite films. And I just can't say enough good things about season 2. One thing I will say that's not spoilery is Ted Raimi has like a huge role in it, and he's fucking great, dude.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. There's these fucking Three Stooge gags in it. Oh, dude, it's just great. I love it so much.
That's good to hear, man. I'm excited about it.
That's what Eat Dog has been watching recently.
Well, what I've been watching recently is only one thing.
Let's hear it.
So I saw it twice, but obviously we'll talk about that in a minute. But I rewatched with my roommate, Wes. Hello, Wes. I rewatched Saw.
He'd seen it, though, right?
Oh, yeah. We'd both seen it. And we both love it. And, you know, we're both kind of big James Wan fans. And it's still so good. Like, there's this weird thing where every time I hear about the original Saw, like on Shockwaves or anything, they always talk about how bad the acting and how bad a lot of stuff is in it. It's probably because I like it too much. I don't see any of that. Like, I see pieces of it. Like, Wes was pointing out some of the stuff to me that I just don't know. I love it. Like, to me, a lot of horror is kind of melodramatic and, like, I don't want to say bad acting, but more, like, big acting that's kind of ridiculous. And so, I don't know. It just, to me, it fits in with horror. So, I love the original Saw. And I watched it in the context that I want to rewatch all seven for Jigsaw. We'll see if I get that accomplished. I've seen all seven before. This is one of my favorite franchises. I sort of grew up into this franchise because the first one came out in 2003.
That's what I was going to say. I was definitely like the appropriate age for that film.
It was perfect.
Where it just like blew me away.
Yeah. So I totally agree. And I sort of grew up from 2003 and on with this Saw franchise. And while people fell off of it, I still kind of loved it. You know, me and Eric are big fans of the torture porn genre.
Correct.
Which I think is an episode we'll do at some point. Top five torture porn.
You know,
I would love to do that.
You know, it was just like maybe within the last year or so that I finally watched all the Saws. And I thought it was great. And
yeah,
I like, you know, I guess maybe the first one's not really torture porn.
No way, it's not. Yeah. It's a detective story.
But I'm happy that it evolved into that.
Yeah.
Because I like that shit.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, it gets obviously ridiculous and they're not like great films towards the end, but I get the blood and violence and stuff I want, and it's fun. I mean, Jigsaw is such a great character. Billy the Puppet is such a great look. Like, I love Saw, so
I guess,
unabashedly love the Saw franchise.
You know, I guess for me, you know, you watch a Friday film for Jason, right? And I guess for me, Saw turned into like, what ridiculous fucking trap are they in and how are they gonna die? That turned into me like, that's what I wanted.
Totally. And I can't wait for this next one. Jigsaw is directed by the Spierig brothers, and they did two movies I love, Daybreakers with Willem Dafoe and Ethan Hawke, and it's really good. And then they did a smaller movie called Predestination, and it made my top 10 that year. I believe it was 2 years ago. Top 10 of the year out of any film. So these guys are sick. So this film Jigsaw, hopefully it's good. I don't remember. I know Lee is a consultant on it, Lee Winnell from the original series, but I don't know if he didn't write it. Somebody else did.
Because I loved Marcus Dunstan and
Patrick Melton.
Patrick Melton, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Saw franchise. There you go. We should one day when we run out of episode topics, we will rank that entire franchise, and it'll get a little hairy towards like the fourth and fifth one because they all started by the same fucking movie.
Right.
But,
I think the fault of Saw. It was like, come back next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, we can talk about this later on another episode, but I totally agree. That franchise ran out when it was like, but next time it's going to be this. And then you'd go, no. Wait for next time.
Let me ask you this.
What's up?
How did you convince Wes to watch Saw?
Flip of a coin works every time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Wes really likes James Wan because not this isn't the only reason, but he's directing the my roommate's a big fan of the DC films. He's directing Aquaman.
So and you sold him on that.
Not exactly. He was asking me for a film to watch actually while I was editing our last episode of the podcast. And I was like, dude, you should watch James Wan's Death Sentence, which is fucking great.
Kevin Bacon.
I love Death Sentence. And I'm like, dude, you should watch it. You'll love it. And he watched it and he loved it. And then through that, it was kind of like, hey, we should rewatch Saw. I own it on Blu-ray. Oh,
okay.
But we did flip
a
coin.
Do you have the set?
I do.
Nice.
We did flip a coin between the time we did it for that was Saw or Free Fire.
Oh, okay.
And
did you watch Free Fire?
Nope, not yet.
I like to.
But I love Saw. So we rewatched that. And I had a couple beers and...
That's a crazy choice. I would have gone Free Fire simply because I don't know, Saw just seems old to me.
Yeah, we just wanted to spice it up
with something.
I don't know what that means, but so yeah, Saw, that's it. Talked way too long about it.
Cool.
Love that original film.
We're both looking forward to Jigsaw.
Can't wait, man.
Absolutely.
Next episode we do, I don't think we'll have seen it, which by the way, our next episode is going to be us ranking the entire Halloween franchise.
Correct. You know, we've done Friday, we're doing Halloween, and I've got a real hankering to do
Nightmare?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know why.
So I rewatched every Texas Chainsaw film except for, well, except for Leatherface and Next Generation.
Maybe because Leatherface is like looming over us soon that I'm like itching to like revisit those films.
We should. But we've got a couple before that. I rewatched all of them. And the thing, the most thing I got out of watching so many in a row was just madcap screaming at the top of your lungs and chainsaws, because that's how every film ends.
Right.
And I was, and I told Ben, my brother, I was rewatching with my brother. Hello, Ben, by the way. This motherfucker started listening to the podcast all of a sudden. Hello, Ben.
Fuck you, Ben.
Ben is my brother. Love him. He has a new job where he drives around in a truck to oil locations, long story short. And
so does he have time to be listening?
Yep. He finally has time for his little brother. Hello. Thanks for listening, bud. Leave us a review on iTunes. Speaking of which,
leave us
a review on iTunes. No, I was finishing that by saying our next episode is going to be the Halloween franchise ranked, and that's exciting. And the point of this episode is to get it out quick for September so we can hopefully
have time for that, because, you know, easy slacks.
And we want to get that out. I'm not going to put timetable on, but we want to get out before the 31st.
True.
So that people can, you know, feel
be in the Halloween spirit.
Exactly. So maybe October 15th, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around it.
So hopefully we get that out. That's very exciting. Before we get to some of the rest of the stuff, I forgot we have some shout outs. Number one, I want to thank V.Dream.Warrior for tweeting. Okay, so she tweeted at, she just tweeted out into the world several podcasts she likes. One of them was Shockwaves, which is our favorite podcast. They're huge. Another was the Nightmare on Film Street podcast, which is hugely popular, much more popular than us. And those guys are awesome. So shout out to them. Not that they'll listen to this, but they're really cool. And then she put us in it, right?
Right.
Well, Shockwaves, their official Twitter account, retweeted that tweet.
Yes.
So in a way, thank you so much for getting us out there in front of Shockwave. So,
correct.
You know, maybe we got
their audience.
Yeah. Maybe we got one more listener out of this, or one more, you know, page view to check us out. So Dream Warrior 26, thank you so much.
Yes.
For doing that.
Thank you.
Another quick shout out is we got a review on iTunes finally.
From someone we don't know.
Well, I don't want to say it like that. Maybe we're not sure. Like, somebody's going to come out and be like, oh, that was me. Oh, and we didn't get it. Is this an in-joke? I don't know. Chris Lentz. Hello. Whoever you are out there, Chris Lentz, thank you for reviewing us on iTunes. Let us know who you are on Twitter or
hit
Instagram.
Us up.
Maybe I'm screwing up. Maybe we know this guy on Instagram under a different name.
Handle.
You know, it's not like Josh Goes to Hell or Shane Saw, because they have their names in it. Maybe we just don't know who this is.
Right.
You know, maybe this is, you know, Film Grinder 303 or somebody like that. So let us know who you are, Chris Lentz. That's awesome. Thank you so much for writing a review. I'll quickly read his review.
Okay.
His review says, one of my favorite podcasts by Chris Lentz. He gave us 5 stars. Thank you so much. This is easily one of my favorite film podcasts. Keegan and Eric are very entertaining and they really know their horror films. I leave every episode with a list of great films to add to my want to see list. Thank you so much, Chris. We really appreciate it. I can't believe anybody listens to us at all. Speaking of which, hello at the Horror Nerd Brian.
Yo.
Hello, Chainsaw Massacre. Hello, It's Probably Paranormal. Kayla.
Josh Goes to Hell.
Josh Goes to Hell. Hellmouth Kid. Ben.
Those
Jamie.
Are you, I feel those,
Jamin,
are, I feel those are the usual suspects.
Hello, everybody. Okay. I think now it's time for a abridged segment, if you will. We're going to do Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes. Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes. Eric doesn't want to sing the theme song.
Notice that was just Keegan. Yeah.
He doesn't want to sing it.
I decided
it.
After listening to the last episode. I wasn't feeling it.
He's real self-conscious.
Not so much that. It's a real dumb reason. I just kind of feel like if this is the bridge into a horror punk segment, then it should be horror punky. And whatever we're doing was just kind of fucking dumb.
So if you're out there, comment or mention us on Twitter and make him sing it for the next episode.
Eh.
All right. What is Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes? Let's hear it, Mr. Coffin.
Right. So usually I'm a little prepared.
Right.
For this.
Usually you read this like prepared statement and it sounds all good.
I type it out in my notes app,
this,
you know.
This is kind of a stripped down episode, if you will.
Yeah.
Do you want to strip down?
Not with you inside.
So
I'm just gonna kind of free ball.
Literally and figuratively.
This Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes.
Eric Coffin's
segment.
Terror Tunes. Eric.
So we're talking Stephen King's It, right?
Yes, we are.
And before it was the major blockbuster that it is. It was a novel released in 1986. Now, in Stephen King's literature universe, there's a being known as the other. And the other also shows up in It.
Yes.
Now, the band I wish to speak about is, and I don't know if they got their name from the novel.
So we don't know if this is related in any way.
Right. And I've actually been wanting to talk about these guys for a while because they are my favorite modern horror punk band ever, period. They are The Other. These dudes I found originally on MySpace. So this was over 10 years ago.
Wow.
They've released, I want to say, at least 5 or 6 albums so far. And they have a new album dropping next month called Casket Case that I am so fucking excited for.
Pumped
like,
up.
Like, I'm so excited that I was thinking, like, I need to do a top 5 horror punk albums for if we ever do a right. top favorite episode of 2017. And I was already thinking, like, that's going to be number one. Like, I haven't even listened to this fucking album yet,
yeah.
And I'm already that excited.
I know how you feel. Like, with Star Wars coming out this year, it's going to be in my number one this year.
Right.
You I can write it right
you
now.
You haven't even fucking seen it yet.
Please proceed with the other.
Yes. Yeah, so that album is called Casket Case. That drops next month. And the song that I wanted to talk about by The Other is off of their 2010 album, New Blood, and it's called Castle Rock, which is also a fictional town in Stephen King's his works. Derry being the other. What's the third? There's a third one I'm missing.
Hobbs End?
No, not Hobbs End, you asshole. Anyways, Castle Rock.
Deep cut.
Yeah, is about this town that, you know, it's a fictional town Stephen King's made up, where such novels as, I want to say, Cujo and Pet Cemetery take place. You may
Dude,
need to.
I know what you're talking about. I can't fucking
you
remember what
it's
called.
You may need to fact check me on that. Last year, I watched The Other in El Paso. Now, The Other are from Germany.
Okay.
And in Germany, they're fucking, they're big.
Right.
Right. And in the States, it was like me and like 20 other people in this like small ass fucking El Paso bar.
I've been there.
Right. And the show ended and I want to go talk to the singer. Right. But you know, easy shy, easy bashful. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with my best bud, Andrew Castagnetta.
He has both hands in his pockets and he's kicking the dirt around,
exactly.
Staring at the ground.
Exactly. This is only the second time they've ever been in America. And my buddy.
Easy bitches out.
And my buddy, Andrew's like, when are you going to get this chance again? You have to go say hi. So I work up the courage. I rush the singer, Rod Usher.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, can I get a pic? He's like, yeah, man, just let me change real quick. Because, you know, they're in their costumes.
Full regalia.
Which is a little funny little side note about that. Whenever they got to the bar, they weren't in their costumes yet. And I was like, oh, they're just regular looking white guys. You know, every time I see them, they're in their full
right.
Get up. So got a picture with them.
It'd be like seeing the guys from Gwar, but without their
costumes
suits.
On. Right.
Yes.
So I ended up getting a pic with them. I talked to them about like what happened to some other horror punk bands that were around during the MySpace era. This guy used to run a horror punk record label called Fiend Force. I was asking him, what happened to that? Anyways, it was the best show I've ever fucking been to in my life. The Other is my favorite modern horror punk band. Check out Castle Rock off their 2010 album, New Blood. And that was a very fucking unscripted ass
Eric Coffin's Terror Tunes.
And look, you got me to fucking sing it. And I didn't want to fucking sing it.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
That was great. Fantastic segment. Thank you.
Thank
you. And I think that's it. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. No, I'm kidding.
We're going
to
go kill ourselves now.
Yes, we are. No.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So it is now time for our feature presentation of this sort of bonus episode of the Ghoul Squad podcast.
Of this bone us episode.
Wow. Okay. Not quite. I wasn't ready to go there, but no, I'm kidding. So, feature presentation time. It's time for our full big time review of 2017's Andy Muschietti's Stephen King's. One more time.
That's a lot of people who own this film.
It. Doesn't that Grindhouse theme sound so good?
It always does.
Yes, it does.
That's when you know you're in for a quality flick.
And a quality podcast, really.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't think it necessarily does say that, but we'd like to think so.
Yeah.
So, it is now time for our review of It. We're very excited about this. I think everyone in the genre is sort of reeling from this thing coming out. I mean, it's a fucking juggernaut. This thing made over $120 million in 3 days.
That's awesome. That's exciting.
Doctor Strange money. That's fucking Civil War money. That's Marvel money. Guess how much
for
this movie cost?
For an R-rated horror film.
$35 million horror film. So congratulations. We're very excited. Having said that.
So it damn near tripled its budget.
Yes. Let's talk about what we know about it. You know, have you read the book, for instance?
I sure haven't. What about you?
Me either. I haven't read the book. I'm not a big reader, unfortunately. I wish I was.
Yeah, I would like to read the book.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Like, it's definitely like piqued my interest now that, I'm like so excited about it that like I want more of this world that like now would be a great time to read the book. And honestly, I just barely saw the miniseries with the release of the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And what was that, maybe 6 months or so ago?
Something like that, yeah. I've never read the book either, and it's funny. I got home and thought, I need to get this book on. Actually, I was going to get the audiobook.
There you go. So you don't even got to fucking read it.
Exactly.
You just listen
to
it.
You know, Keegan likes to listen to podcasts, audiobooks, stuff like that.
Right.
Never listened to audiobook in my life, so that's a lie.
There's this dude I work with. I refer to him as Nice Mike. Because he's nice.
And two, his name is Mike.
But there's a bunch of other Mikes, and so that's how I differentiate them. Now, I don't call them Nice Mike, Trainer Mike, New Mike, Rural Mike, Mechanic Mike to their face.
Are those real?
Those are all real Mikes.
God damn.
Yeah. Anyways.
You change your name to Mike to work there.
And
Postal Service, cranking out Mikes.
He tells me what a big Stephen King novel fan that he is and all of the works that he's read and liked.
And
I'm sure he's not the only motherfucker.
Right. So neither of us have read the book. And,
correct.
So pretty much our only knowledge is of the miniseries.
Right. That was our jumping off.
Right. So I saw the miniseries recently, but not as recent as you. I think I saw it a year and a half to 2 years ago, which is recent, obviously. I mean, I'm 26. Most people see this thing when they're a kid.
Right.
And here's the thing. It's that thing where like I feel
I would have been two.
But I feel like I've seen it already. I had just never sat down and watched the whole thing, so I finally did about 2 or 3 years ago and loved every second of it. And like, people always complain about how hokey and bullshit it is. I love it. Like, I love the original miniseries.
So here's my thing. I just rewatched it on Saturday. I showed my mom again because I was so excited about the new It that I want more It.
Right.
So I showed it to my mom. She's never seen it. Now, the first time I watched it again was just a few months ago. I thought it was fine. And then I've seen where people were complaining about how hokey it was. And I was like, nah, they're crazy. But then after seeing the new It and then going right back like 2 days later to the miniseries, damn, then I can see it's hokiness.
Its biggest issue is the adult segment of it. I mean, we can talk about it in the spoiler section. We can get into it. But like, the biggest issue is the adults in that film are like TV adult actors. And they're like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing in it.
Right.
They're all like pretty and like it's kind of soapy. The kids part, the first hour and a half is the kids of the original miniseries, fantastic, and I love it. Tommy Lee Wallace,
Halloween 3, Fright Night 2,
It miniseries,
It miniseries,
and it's crazy. Tommy Lee Wallace like almost everything he did is pretty fucking solid. And yeah, so I love the original miniseries. We'll probably talk more about like differences and stuff like that in the spoiler section. And then I just have a note here on my notes. Expectations going in. What were your expectations for this It film?
I feel like I didn't have much of my own, but I was like reading everybody else's on Twitter, like how excited they were, how much money they thought it was going to make. And then I think when I kind of finally realized like, oh shit, this is a big deal, was when I got there and in Carlsbad fucking New Mexico.
And it was packed.
On Thursday night, they only had two showings of it. Both were fucking sold out. And that really fucking blew me away.
Did you go on Thursday night? Or
I did go on Thursday night. I went to the 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
How was your crowd? I'm just interested.
They were okay.
Okay.
It was fucking Carlsbad.
Right.
You know, so you had the fucking dudes who were trying to like scare their girlfriends. The kids who didn't want to stop.
That sounds fucking talking, awful.
You know. I do believe there was moments where we were all entrapped by what we were seeing.
And you only saw it once, right?
I only saw it once.
So I went to Roswell, which is weird because if you don't know where the fuck we are, you have heard of Roswell. Roswell, New Mexico. I went there to see it twice.
I was there last night.
On the Friday it came out. They have a Dolby Atmos screen there. And that just means more sound. There's speakers on top of you and there's additional speakers and bass. So I went to see it there and partially to get away from the crowd here. We love Carlsbad. We love our hometown. But sometimes the crowds here are kind of... well, like you said, I mean, it's not like they're joking around and shit. The first screening I went to was the 2:30 on Friday, and it was dead quiet, and it was fan-fucking-tastic.
Was it packed?
The 2:30 screening on a Friday wasn't packed. The 6 o'clock that I went to after, I saw it back-to-back, which, as I know, I'm fucking crazy, but...
Who'd you go with?
By myself.
You went by yourself?
I went alone.
And watched it twice?
Well, I had plans for other people to come with me, and then they all slowly faded away. Wes and my brother and all them had a bachelor party they went to in Ruidoso. I thought you would go, but then you had to work. So I just went by myself. I said, fuck it.
But why twice? What motivated you to go twice?
Well, the fact that I was there and they have that Atmos screen, I thought, well, if I'm there, I might as well see it twice there instead of see it once there, come back here and see it.
Did you pay for two tickets or did you chill in the theater?
I paid for two tickets.
Okay.
First ticket was $6. The second was like $8. Okay. I mean, it's not that. We don't live in New York, right? So it was cheap as fuck. So anyways, my crowd was great in both, except for the second time I saw it at 6, these two people, we hope you enjoy these stories. I love stories about crowds and films. The two people that sat next to me, as soon as they got there, the girl sat next to me and the guy sat one more seat down. And the girl said, "What the fuck is this?" And I think she was talking about because she had to sit next to somebody. And the guy goes, "Well, babe, it's going to be sold out. You're going to have to sit next to somebody at some point." And she's pissed the rest of the time. And they fought the whole time.
Now, is somebody... The person sitting next to her is hearing the fight too?
It's me. They're sitting next to me.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too.
No, yeah. So she's pissed the whole time and I'm just sitting there and I don't care. I've already seen the movie. Just like fuck off. And then guess what? By the end of the film, they were hugging and kissing on the way out. Best friends. So Stephen King and Pennywise and It brings people together.
There you go.
So that's where I saw it. And so expectations. I was just really fucking excited for this. Not only do I feel like it has a really good pedigree and stuff, but then like the reactions of this thing started to come out. Right. And it was like the best movie of the year, the best horror movie of all fucking time, like the scariest movie ever made and all this shit.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to act cool. I'm not trying to act tough, but I didn't feel like I had that. Like I was excited to see a new horror film.
Right.
But I wasn't like...
Well, you told me you were more excited for Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water than you were for this film.
I cannot wait to see that fucking movie. No, it's not a fucking lie, asshole.
It's a joke.
Can't wait for that shit, but please continue.
Shape of Water. We're both excited about. Eric is very excited about that.
Correct.
But yeah, no. So this was just very, very excited going into this.
Let Easy stop you. Easy's always got to backtrack. Easy backtracks.
Let Easy backtrack.
That's what we do.
A year.
Not that far. More like 30 seconds ago. I made the joke about wanting to do a top 5 horror punk album, and I'm already saying the new Other is going to be my number one.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to already say The Shape of Water is going to be my number one.
Wow. Of the, not even horror?
Well, see, I don't even know if it's a horror film.
Who cares?
As much, but like in my head, I'm calling it a horror film and it's going to be my number one. Please continue.
Well, so anyways, we're both very excited about, you know, this film. And, you know, its pedigree is directed by Andy Muschietti.
He did Mama.
He did Mama. And I'm a big fan of Mama. Most people...
I saw Mama at the drive-in.
It's fucking good. Mama is very scary, and I feel like everyone remembers the bad CGI of Mama and like the stupid ending.
I love how Deadeye-ish the creature looks in Mama.
She's fucked up, and she's pretty scary. Like, there's a scene where Jessica Chastain's in it, by the way, and where she's like looking in a closet, and like Mama's like in the closet and shit. Like, that movie's scary. It scared me. And I find it odd people like make fun of it because it has bad CGI and a stupid ending. But no, it's a great movie. I really like Mama.
I dug how it wasn't like a happy ending.
That is cool too. So anyways, Andy Muschietti directed.
Correct.
Mama. And directed this.
So was it co-released by Warner Brothers and New Line?
So New Line's owned by Warner Brothers.
I did not know that.
So like Annabelle Creation came out a couple weeks ago, and that's New Line WB as well.
I did not know that.
So is Conjuring. Conjuring's New Line WB.
I saw a tweet where you said, is Sony kicking themselves for making a Flatliners remake? And I thought of one that was a bit more on a local level. Our fucking drive-in shut down in like fucking July.
Yeah.
Not shut down, but like they like closed up for the season.
Until February.
And I thought, are they kicking themselves when like how much business they may have gotten had they stayed open for... It?
Who knows? Who knows why they closed it? I have no idea.
Who knows?
Oh, yeah. My tweet went something along the lines of like, with WB and New Line's success of Annabelle Creation and It, I wonder if Sony's sitting there thinking, well, we made a Flatliners remake?
And then I saw that there was like a fan account for one of the actresses in the film like replied to you like, how do you know it's going to be bad?
Yep. And she called me a bitch, that person on Twitter.
Literally.
They said, it's a sequel, not a remake, bitch.
Really?
I swear to God. And I said, cool.
I didn't see that part. I just saw the part where they asked you like, how do you know if it's going to be bad?
I just said, that's cool or something. And then I blocked her because it's something like, it was a Nina Dobrev fan account.
Fan account. Yeah.
I don't need that shit in my life. So anyways, my joke is that like, hey, we're Sony. We're going to make this super high budget Flatliners remake where it's like slick and like make shit that's cool. Like It, like Annabelle Creation, like with voices and scary, not CGI and stupid shit. That was my point about Flatliners. Having said all of that, it is finally time to get to our actual review.
Yes.
So, you want to go first?
Not really.
Oh, God. You're going to make me talk more? I hate talking.
Well, I was a little worried I was going to be tired.
Today?
No.
Oh, during the film?
During the film. You know, okay. It's two plus
it is.
Hours.
It is.
And it's fucking packed. You right. Know? I'm a little worried.
Probably smelling like a fart in there.
You know it was. And at one point, Dana, who I went with, he looks at his watch and I said, what time is it? And he says, 9 o'clock. And I was like, it's already fucking 9. Like the film just fucking breezed by.
Totally.
And so that was awesome that like those concerns I had didn't come to for, because it was such a great fucking film.
Did Dana like it? Not that anyone knows who that is.
He did. And at one point he fell asleep though.
Oh, good.
And he was snoring. And I didn't know if he was like, just like grumbling. Like awake, and I looked at him, and this motherfucker is just...
Did you wake him up, or did you just let
him
sleep?
No, I let him sleep, because if I was in that situation, I would want to sleep.
Oh, fuck that.
I hate when people wake me up at the theater. If I'm fucking out, I'm fucking out.
All right, Larry, David.
Okay, if you and I go to the film, you just let Easy sleep.
Okay, so...
So, yeah, I fucking loved it. Like, I feel like I can't say anything yet until we get to the spoilery
part.
Sure,
okay, let's do that. Let's start brief thoughts, and then let's get to spoilers. So you're right.
I know you loved it, but
yes.
Tell me
so
some more.
I absolutely fucking love this movie. The only thing, the first thing that comes to mind that I can think of is I didn't think it was, like, the scariest movie of all time.
I agree with that.
Having said that, I don't care about that. It's so good. Goddamn good.
Exactly.
It's a great coming-of-age film. It's a great Stephen King telling, and it's really fucked up. Like, I had a conversation with, shout out, Michael Vichy sent me a Twitter message. He told me to send him this episode. He's not a listener, but he will be. He's a friend of Jamin, a buddy of mine.
Okay.
Anyways, this person, Michael Vichy, hello, Michael, said, you know, he didn't like it. He said, you know, I sat through this whole movie, this overrated bore. He said it was boring.
Damn.
And so let's get this out of the way. Like, I can't understand that. And he said, like, he likes Stranger Things over this. And, you know, so let's talk about Stranger Things a little bit. Stranger Things is an amalgamation of, like, all these properties. Like, it's, like, 17...
Stephen King properties.
Stephen King, Spielberg, Zemeckis, everything into one. And it's like this incredibly stimulating 8 hours of nostalgia trip, like based on everything we love. So yes, Stranger Things moves very fast. This is one Stephen King story. So let's get that out of the way. Having said all that, I did not find this the scariest movie of all time, but I loved how adult it was. I loved how fucked up it is. I love how it didn't shy away from like the subtext of a lot of like them growing up and turning into adults. Like it, as far as I can tell, is about, you know, their adulthood. They're becoming adults. They're no longer children after this summer, basically. And the subtext is biggest around Beverly Marsh's character. And it's so fucked up in the movie, but it's awesome they didn't shy away from that.
The summer was supposed to be fun.
Do you want to go snooping around in the goddamn sewers? Supposed to have fun. So I just love how adult the film is. And sometimes everything doesn't have to be a boo scare to be scary, or horror isn't always, you know, boo scare, boo scare, boo scare. Sometimes it can just be traumatic. And there's several things in this film that are traumatic, and it's about a lot more than just, you know, a clown jumping out and saying boo, you know?
Right.
And so that was the main thing I wanted to get across, is just how adult it is and how I didn't find it like boo scary.
I don't know if this is going to sound reasonable, but it was almost like the film was bringing me so much joy. I was having such a good time. I was having so much fun that it was like, I couldn't be scared, because I was just like having a blast with these characters. You know, I was just along for this fun ride.
I think that's a great point to bring up, because we won't talk about what happens in it, but in the opening scene of the film, something bad happens. Let's just right. say that. And I had the biggest fucking smile on my face. I wasn't scared,
right.
but I was so excited for this thing to be happening.
Now, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I couldn't even contain myself. I just had this massive smirk. And I was like, holy shit, I can't wait for the rest of this movie. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you.
And in that moment, it was like a no shit moment for me.
Yeah,
and
it's like, a wake up. It's a wake up.
And it was fun to have this surprise, this kind of like jolt. Not a scary jolt, yeah. but just like, oh, fuck, this is what I'm in for. This is tight. Because that's what I like.
Yeah. I almost think, and we'll talk about it. So we're almost there. We're almost to our spoiler part. But I think that might be my favorite scene in the film. And it's not just because of specifics. It's just,
I don't know if I can pick a favorite, Doc. There are so many good scenes.
There is. There definitely is. So I guess this has been a kind of middling non-spoiler review, but it's tough. It's tough to talk about the movie without getting crazy on it. So we both fucking love it.
Absolutely. 100%.
Two thumbs up from the Ghoul Squad. You know, if you're listening to this, you probably fucking seen it. You know, if you're a yep. horror fan, I hope you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
My brother said he wasn't going to see it because he was too scared. So let's
that
call him out.
That sounds like Ben Preslak.
It does.
I remember he told me he jumped during a jump scare in the Rob Zombie Halloween remake and that he was upset.
When was this? 2007?
I don't fucking know.
Well, Jesus Christ, you're the one that remembered it so vividly.
I think he was upset that a jump scare got him.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be scared. He really doesn't. I mean, it's weird.
That kind of like blows me away.
It blows you. Wow.
When people say that, there's a buddy of mine, and he lives in Albuquerque. His name is Alec.
Hello, Alec.
A few years ago. Oh, Alec's not fucking listening.
That's the joke. Please go ahead.
A few years ago, I went up there to, this is when Dana, who I've mentioned on the podcast.
Hello, Dana.
He's not listening either. That's when he was living in Albuquerque for quite some time. I went up to visit him, and we decide we're going to marathon the Nightmare on Elm Street films. So we're in, he had a fucking projector. Dana had just gotten this fucking projector. So the plan is we're just going to fucking
DLP, Texas Instruments.
We're just going to fucking marathon the Nightmare on Elm Street films, right? Alec was Dana's roommate. So we're all in Dana's room just like hanging out. And Alec wants to hang out with us, but he's afraid of the Nightmare on Elm Street.
And you're grown adults.
And by this point, we're like at Dream Warriors.
Ooh, which is fantastic.
And he was like, I don't have to watch it. Or something like along those lines. And he ended up coming in the room and chilling with us, but he had like his laptop with him. And I just kind of thought it was like weird. Like,
maybe he was traumatized by Freddy as a kid. I don't know. There's a film with a lot of subtext.
No need to be afraid. Just have fun. We're just chilling. We're just hanging out. Anyways.
You're driving along.
Here comes the meat wagon. So we fucking love it.
Yes, we fucking love it. And I hope we've gotten that across without spoilers. Go fucking see it. And I think it's just time to get to those spoilers now.
Let's do it.
All right, so from now on, you know, if you haven't seen it, fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. If you haven't seen it, we're going to talk full spoilers for the miniseries as well as the...
I would just like to jump back and forth between the two.
And that's,
seamlessly.
That's totally cool. But I should say here, because we are going to talk about the miniseries, there could potentially... Like, if you don't want to be spoiled on part two of it, there's potential spoilers because... we're going to talk about, you know, I mean, I know it's a book. It's been out forever. The miniseries has been out forever. But it's going to say, you know, things are going to happen in that next film that we've probably already seen. So we're going to talk about those things as well. But hopefully you stay with us.
Now, how do you feel, like, how much do you feel made it from the miniseries into the new film?
Spoiler starting now. Don't fucking listen if you haven't. Ask your question again.
How much do you feel of the miniseries made it into the new film? And I guess ultimately that would just be, I would assume, stem from the book.
Right. I mean, I felt like the... So, spoilers starting now.
Like 5 minutes ago.
I know. But I just, you know, I'm very sacred about spoilers. I felt like the opening of the film with Georgie getting his fucking arm bit off by fucking it, Pennywise...
It was so fucking tight. He turns around and he's missing an arm and he's just like bleeding in the rain.
And the score like pops hard as fuck. Like,
yeah.
It's like, and he's trying to crawl away, but then it's an overhead shot and the fucking hand, his fucking clown hand comes out of the sewer and pulls him all the way into the goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Holy shit, what a way to open the film. I mean, I know that's in the book and I know that we've seen it in the miniseries, but not like that.
No, not like that.
Not
as,
shot
as soon
like
as
that.
He like opens his mouth, you know, it cuts.
Yes. I think with that, what I was initially going to say is I feel like a lot of that is like almost, I mean, because I know it's the book, but it's almost shot in a way kind of like the miniseries. And I felt like the dialogue, that was the closest Pennywise is to Tim Curry at all. And I almost feel like they wanted to get you into it. Because the rest of the film, again, spoilers for this film coming up, he does a lot of shape-shifting from then on. But
right.
During this, he is Pennywise in that goddamn sewer. Now, I know he is in the book, so that is what it's from. But like, this is the most miniseries-like scene in the film. And then he bites his fucking arm off, and then it's totally different. So I feel like the rest of the film isn't...
I just love how they just like... turned it up.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, it was funny because so when I another note about when I saw it, the first time I saw it, it didn't start, so someone had to go tell him, hey, it didn't start. So when they started it, it was late and they just clicked play on the movie, so I didn't have any trailers or anything. So literally it just was like a New Line Film presents blah blah blah, directed by Andy Muschietti.
Into that.
And then so like I kind of wasn't ready. And then he gets his fucking arm bit off and dragged into the sewer. And that was when my face was just lit up. And I was like, holy shit, I'm watching it now. So,
right.
Also, awesome title card sequence. It's
like flying
in
the camera.
Sewer, like yeah. Upside down. And then it goes through it. It's fucking sick. How much did you think it differed from the book?
I'm sorry.
From the miniseries.
From the miniseries.
We're not big readers here.
Right. You know, but you know, there are moments in the miniseries that's not present in the new film,
yeah,
that I actually really, really, really like in the miniseries. Okay, so at the end of the new film, that is when Bill promises or asks everybody to promise that should it return, that they'll all come back.
Yes.
Right? Now, in the miniseries, there's a point... Okay, so that happens in the miniseries, but there's also a point in the miniseries where Bill says, I want to kill it. Will you help me kill it?
Yeah.
You killed my brother, you bastard. And that's when he gets all the others to agree to help him.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such a powerful moment for Bill getting the other kids to agree to try to stop it.
I get that, but maybe it was the fact that there was... I'm not saying this is what it meant, but maybe in the miniseries it was more about revenge for his brother. And like I felt like in this, at the end of the film, it was more about his acceptance that, no, you're dead, Georgie. Like, you're gone. I have to move on. And they still want to kill the entity of it. But like, it wasn't about getting revenge for his brother at this point. It was about, you know, accepting, you know, it was an allegory for grief, you know?
Sure.
My brother is dead, so I need to move on. That's how I felt about it in this film. I think in the miniseries it was more about revenge.
And then another terrific moment in the miniseries that wasn't in the film is when Richie sees the werewolf in the high school fucking basement. And he runs upstairs and he says, "Guys, there's a werewolf in the basement." And everybody starts laughing at him. But then it cuts to the kids.
Yeah.
And at that point, they haven't described to each other yet that they've also have encountered
it.
And the looks on their faces are just like so scared and so worried that, shit, these guys have seen it as well. And I think that's just another really powerful moment of these kids bonding. Right, exactly, yeah.
I feel like in the I feel like in this film, it was more about each of their own personal struggles rather than the groups, you know, wanting to, you know, kill this thing that's scaring them. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like in the original miniseries, it was, like I said, it was more about, like, killing this scary thing and getting revenge for Bill and Georgie. And in this, it was more about each of their individual issues. Like, you know, the kid is germophobic. Beverly Marsh's issues with her father.
Right.
Bill is grief with his...
losing his brother.
Losing his brother when he gets his fucking arm bit off by a goddamn clown in the sewer. And then who else? He's becoming an adult. The kid with the...
Stanley,
the bat mitzvah. What do you call that?
Right.
So... I feel like that this film focused more on like the basically subtext and allegory of them becoming adults.
But I also think like they each have their own problems in the miniseries.
No,
as
they certainly do. But like I'm just saying, what I'm saying is the runtime of the film focused more on that than them as a group and doing those things you were talking about.
Right.
Because it happens to them individually, then they team up, then they go to the house. Let's talk about the house in a minute.
So, you know, I guess I like that group dynamic. You know, I guess I like the shared emotions.
Sure.
And one of my absolute favorite scenes in the new film where we got that was when they all go help clean up the bathroom.
Yeah, I really like that too.
In Bev's house. And that was just a great moment. I love how there's that fucking Cure song playing. I guess, you know, that's cool that we got to see them each have their own encounter with it.
Sure.
But I guess ultimately I like them as a group.
What a great scene with Beverly Marsh in her bathroom with the blood. Certainly much different than the miniseries.
Yeah, you know, going back to the arm being bitten off, it's like, okay, here's that scene. You've seen it once, and now we're going to turn it up 10.
Like, honestly, here's the Stephen King version of that, because, like, the miniseries was tame, you know? And this is, like, Stephen King's It, the book, as far as I know, is really fucked up, and it's really gruesome and really dirty. You know, and this film didn't shy away from a lot of that, except for the ending, of course.
You know, in the miniseries, it's like the sink and the mirror, but I love how in the new film, it's like the whole fucking bathroom is just covered in blood. Yeah. I love how like her like hair like ties her down to the sink.
Yeah, that felt like Evil Dead almost.
Yeah, and like, then it fucking just like gushes into her face. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, I really liked, like, this is kind of different, but I really liked the aspects that were, I wouldn't call that wacky, but like, They didn't shy away from like being sort of crazy. So like, for instance, the hair pulling her into the sink, or there's this moment where one of their friends, it's Pennywise shapeshifting into one of their friends, and he's like coming up out of the that mattress in the house, and he's like, like, and it's like you want to laugh at it, but it's like they're so scared. I like that it didn't shy away from like being wacky and fucking nuts.
Speaking of being wacky, like towards the end, I think it's when he just has like Beverly down in the sewer or whatever, and he's fucking dancing.
Oh, I love
it. He's like jumping back and forth, and his like face though is like straight.
Yeah, I love
it. He's like not making any emotion, but yeah, he's doing this goofy dance, and I think that was another fun, wacky moment.
I love that shit. Certainly another moment in the film that like I feel like one of the scariest, you know, because it didn't feel like a lot was that scary, but there was a couple, like, so there's that scene early in the film where Mike Hanlon is he's trying to deliver meat, I believe, to his dad or whoever. Well, his dad's actually dead, but anyways, like those hands come out of like the meat cellar or whatever,
burnt hands,
yeah, and like there's all that fire, but then it fucking opens and you can see Pennywise back there, but like through those sheets or whatever,
right? The plastic
and his
sheets.
Eyes are glowing and he's like falling down and shit, and then he like just waves. That is scary. Like, there are scary moments in the film, but I just felt like I wish there were more.
One thing I really loved was like when we see the leper or when we see the painting, how like the camera just like zooms in on its face.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's these like grotesque fucking things and it's just right in your face.
Yeah. I really like that because like it's unrelenting. You know, it's like, right. Oh, fuck that thing. You're right, though. That painting is awesome. It's almost a little Conjuring with Valak and stuff, you know, like the fact that he puts it back up on the wall and that thing's fucking gone.
And it's gone, yeah.
It's super cool. So I love that. What else? The score is great. I don't even know who did the score, but I really like it. It even gets electronic at points, which I was just surprised by. I thought it would be more like it's classical, but then sometimes it's almost electronic. So
how great was the rock fight? It was so much
rock fight. Yeah. God damn. Let's talk about Finn Wolfhard.
Richie. Yes. I texted you how NECA said they're going to make It toys. And I said, give me a Richie fig.
Yes. Beep, beep, Richie.
Because he's, you know what? I feel like that line was only used once in the film.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if, like, that's just trying to reference to, like, trying to make people happy.
Right.
Because, like, I was surprised. Like, that's, like, a big part of the miniseries. And right. I'm assuming it is in the book. But, he's so goddamn funny. And it sucks because, like,
I love all the Your Mom jokes.
Oh, I loved him. Loved him.
I like that part whenever they're trying to help Ben after he's been cut. And they go and they steal all that shit from the pharmacy.
He says that he's leaking Hamburger Helper. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And there's a part where Eddie's like, it's in my second fanny pack. And Richie's like, why do you have two fanny packs?
Yeah.
Just small shit like that was great.
I love him so much. I mean, obviously, he's like the star, almost like the star of the film.
Oh, God. Let me tell you about my favorite moment in the film.
Tell me about your favorite moment in the film.
It comes from Richie.
Okay, let's hear it.
And I don't remember the exact dialogue. But that's at the very end when they're about to have the final fight with Pennywise. And he's complaining to Bill. He's like, you made me walk through the sewers. You made me step in piss. And then he grabs a baseball bat. And he goes, and now I'm going to have to kill this fucking clown. Holy shit.
I literally like.
Phenomenal.
I let out like a cheer.
Phenomenal.
When I saw it. I said like, fuck yeah or something.
So fucking
it's
good.
And now I'm going to have to kill this fucking clown.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome.
Let's talk about the ending stuff a little bit.
Okay, sure.
I feel like it's a little frustrating. The fight with Pennywise at the end. I feel like it's not shot all that well. It's a little.
Will somebody please tweet me? How do they kill it in the book? In the miniseries, they've got the fucking silver fucking earrings.
Right.
And I feel like in this one, they just like beat it with bats. In the miniseries, in the book, you know, they learn that not being afraid of it gives them some power over it.
Yeah.
But
that's in this too. I think.
Yeah, you're right. It's in both. But I'm just curious. What do they do in the book? I have no fucking idea.
I don't either. But
beating them with bats is definitely cooler than fucking silver earrings.
Another wacky part that I was like, my face was like lit up because I was so stoked that it was happening was when they're in the house, which I do want to talk about the house.
Talk about the house.
They like shove like a spike through Pennywise.
Oh yeah.
And
head.
He's like all fucked up. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
And his eyes are like split apart and shit. I fucking love that so much. Cause it's like another wacky, crazy, like, yes, it is scary, but it's almost like it's insane. It's like, I don't know. I love that stuff in horror.
Let's talk about giant Pennywise in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Well, and
he's
like,
huge.
And his goddamn teeth in that are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like when he comes out of the projector.
That's such a cool like bit, though, when it's like frame by frame and it's his hair, you know, like blowing in the wind or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fucking tight, dude.
It's so fucking tight. So the house. Is the house part of the book? Because that house is not in the miniseries at all.
No, it's just the sewer. Yeah, I have no fucking idea. Is it cracked in or whatever?
I got to say, the first time I saw the film, I kind of didn't, I guess because I'm so used to the miniseries, I kind of didn't like the house aspect. But the second time I saw it, I loved it. And I think it's because I wasn't expecting, I didn't know what to expect with the film. And once I knew what it was, I loved every second of it. And I love the house. I love the doors. Not very scary, scary. Like, I love that shit.
Another great thing that I liked was how they made it to 89. And, like, was that Muschietti who, like, came up with the New Kids on the Block jokes? There's a part where there's Nightmare on Elm Street 5 is playing on the marquee. Like,
well,
I wonder, was that him?
What's funny is, because
that shit's
as
great.
Far as I know, Muschietti is not from America. So a lot of the conversation is how was he so good at all these references and stuff when he wasn't living here at that time.
Right.
So I don't know. But it's so good.
And there's, like, two New Kid on the Block jokes. And, like, they both kill.
Yeah, the best one is whenever it's on the door and only Bev and
Ben
see it because they like share a moment, but then she hides it for him.
Right.
I fucking love that. And these kids are great, man. Like, they're so good. The only thing I will say is I do feel like Stanley is kind of pushed aside.
That's how he is in the miniseries.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe that's how he is in the book. I have no idea.
He doesn't have that much screen time. And in fact, neither does Mike. Mike's not in the film that much, which is kind of odd. He does end up at the end with the fucking the cattle shooter. What do you call that thing?
Yeah, to kill the cows. I don't know what you call that. The
bolt gun. And they're killing sheep, but whatever. Same thing.
Yeah. I don't fucking know. Do I look like a farmer? I wasn't in FFA. E-Dog was voted most likely to appear on the cover of Thrasher.
And you never did, so.
That's a lie.
There you go. So, yeah. So, something weird I felt in the film was because I've seen the miniseries and I know it. I know it's a book. But I know it, to me, as this complete story. I did kind of feel like, well, fuck, man. I feel like the story's not over. You know, I felt like because there's this whole second part with the adults that we still haven't seen yet. So that is one part where it left me feeling, I don't want to say empty because that implies a bad thing. It's not.
Do you feel like they made a good choice in splitting it
up? I do. Yeah. And especially, I think this is going to be fantastic when we just have both we can watch and we can just watch both back to back.
Hopefully they release a cut like that.
That'd be tight. They announced that the kids are going to be in it for sure.
That's awesome.
Probably in flashbacks.
And that's very good.
They did. There's a report out saying they don't think that the adults are going to be big stars. They think they're going to be no names, which would kind of suck.
I'm okay with that.
Because I really want Jessica Chastain to play Beverly Marsh.
Put that budget towards the film.
But I don't know. She might do it for cheap. She was in
Mama.
Mama with that black hair.
The Mama with the black hair.
So what else do we have here? Let's talk about Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise.
Okay.
What do we think of him?
So I have no affinity to Tim Curry. Obviously, I like Tim Curry.
Right.
And I thought he was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. The one thing I will say is, and I think this is like the book, and he is a shapeshifter, so I totally understand it. But I wish there was a little bit more of him. And I think, that goes into... That's
funny you say that, because I would prefer more shapeshifting.
I think, for me, I would like to see more of him. But I think that goes into, we haven't seen the second part of the story.
Right.
So if you think about the original miniseries, in the first 90 minutes, we probably got the same amount of Pennywise in that, but then there's the whole second half. So we're going to get a lot more Pennywise. So I can't complain.
I feel like Pennywise is more dominant in the second half in the miniseries. It's almost like he fucks with them even more. And I guess maybe that's because he knows that, you know,
right.
They can possibly stop him.
So maybe we're just waiting for that.
And
I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, goddamn, I really like Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. So I wanted more, but we're going to get more. So fuck it.
One of my favorite bits in the miniseries, whenever he's fucking with them as adults, is when he's fucking with Richie.
And he's spinning that goddamn thing.
Cracking those like dumbass jokes like, you got Prince Albert in a can? You better let him out. He's just like laughing super hard.
And then he ends up yelling at him, get out of here, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Like, it's so good.
You can't kill me and all that shit. I love it so much.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that I kind of thought about the film, that I wish there was more Pennywise, but we are going to get more. But I thought Bill Skarsgård was great. I thought he was awesome. You think
they're going to give us a giant spider?
I hope not.
He's a spider in the book, right?
Well, let me say this. He's not a spider in the book.
He's not a spider
in the
book.
That's the only thing he is, but that's the only thing they can see him as. He's so evil. The only way that they can
crazy unless they see the deadlights.
Exactly. And the only way they can see something this evil is in the form of this big spider in the book. So
let's talk about Mantis Pennywise.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
That's fucking tight. Are those tentacles coming out of his mouth or those are burnt hands?
Those are burnt hands.
Those are burnt hands. Oh, I thought those were tentacles. And I was like, fuck, this is tight.
But you know what it is, right?
When he's fucking with Mike.
But what is it? What is he? Pennywise.
Oh, it's just an evil fucking entity that lives under the fucking ground of Derry, Maine.
Okay, but do you want me to tell you what he is?
If you want.
Well, he's from like an alternate dimension. He's like interdimensional.
Okay.
So he's like evil from another world. I think he's borderline alien.
I thought he was.
So I know, but he's more of an interdimensional alien than just like a space alien. But yeah, so... I feel like they have a lot of liberty to do whatever they want. Like, they don't have to do a spider. Because
he can be fucking anything.
Exactly. And the book left room for, like, the only reason they're seeing him as a spider is because that's the only way they can see this something this evil.
I didn't know that. I thought that was his true form.
I hope I didn't know that. No, I read that it's not his true form. Okay. But that's his true form in the way they can see it is okay. A spider. Because we're only human, so we can only comprehend things in certain ways. He's an interdimensional force. Here's your fucking spider.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, I hope it's not a
and
fucking...
That shit's boring as hell in the OG miniseries.
Well, my favorite joke...
We're going to rip out his fucking heart.
My favorite joke, and I may have made it on this before, is it was like a tweet I read. And just like every Stephen King ending, it ends with a giant alien sewer spider. Because his endings always do end up kind of being like these, like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like a giant alien sewer spider?
You know, I see all these headlines about how great, you know, it is. You know, how it's this tremendous King adaptation. And I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. But we're not forgetting The Mist, are we?
Oh, Mist is fucking... Frank Darabont, duh.
God damn, The Mist is excellent.
The Mist is great.
I think I'm going to say that's my favorite King adaptation. That would be a fun episode.
Shawshank?
King adaptations.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, Shawshank is incredible too.
Gerald's Game is coming to Netflix.
That's exciting. Like 2 weeks exciting. From now, right? The 23rd?
Yeah. Mike Flanagan.
Ouija 2. Hush?
Yep. The same actress from Ouija 2 is in it.
Absentia?
Absentia's great. You haven't seen it, have you?
Oculus?
Oculus is great. People don't like Oculus. What the fuck's wrong with everybody?
I've seen Oculus.
It's good. And.
Nice. Mike has read Gerald's Game. Please continue.
I think that might be it. What else do we have to say?
That we fucking loved it. I can't wait to watch it again.
Me either.
I'm like itching to go watch it.
No, me
it
too.
Again.
I it's funny because today's Tuesday and our local theater just announced.
I saw that.
Every Tuesday, every movie is $5.
That's sick.
And I was going to go, but then I had to play Destiny and then I had to come record this podcast. You know.
I don't blame you.
The life of a horror podcaster. Is that what we are? Podcasters now?
I don't want to label it.
So, let's talk about that we're excited for the sequel, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
of
like,
course.
I just hope it doesn't take too long, and I hope Andy Muschietti...
I read 2019. I don't know if that's true.
Me too, but I'm hoping Andy Muschietti gets to do it, because I know he signed on to do, like, a Robotech film for Sony and, like, all types of other shit. So, like, they better get cracking on this shit, because I want him to finish, like, his vision, you know?
I agree. That would suck if it wasn't him.
And I'm not even implying he's, like an auteur or anything, but, like, I want...
He should start
to continue.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
100%.
Yeah. It fucking fantastic. We love it. Hopefully this episode made any sense.
Because we were just jumping back and forth. And you know what? Let's make one more jump. The fucking clown room that Richie's
in.
Oh,
yeah. Hell yeah.
And his fucking body is in the casket.
Beat Richie.
In the bottom left, that's clearly Tim Curry fucking Pennywise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love when he jumps up like from
me
behind
too.
The coffin and he does like a fucking superhero landing.
That's what I'm saying.
And he lands on the coffin.
It's all like
it's
wacky
so
as
tight.
Fuck. Yeah, I love that shit.
Fucking sick.
Love that shit. I love when he's dancing at the end and it says Pennywise the Dancing Clown. It's like
it's great.
I love that shit. So totally agree. I guess that's it.
Yeah. Our review. So Ghoul Squad approved.
Ghoul Squad approved, man. Fucking amazing. And that. Is the end?
Guess that concludes our review of It. Where can
it
you
does.
Find us at, Dal?
You can find us at Ghoul Squad, at Ghoul Squad FM on Twitter, at Ghoul Squad FM on Instagram.
And Facebook.
Facebook.com/Ghoul Squad FM.
Buy a t-shirt at tpublic.com.
Or bit.ly/Ghoul Squad shirt.
Yep.
And I think that's it. So again, the purpose of this episode and the reason we're so kind of haphazard is we just wanted to get it recorded. We wanted to review it as best we could, as quick as we could, get it out as quick as we could, you know, pump out an episode essentially. And that way our next one can be big time for fucking Halloween. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We promise our next one won't be as rambly.
Because this was rambly as hell.
Yeah, but it's okay. That's kind of that was the point of this.
We rambled, Rambler.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Ghoul Squad podcast. Give us a review on iTunes, itunes.com/. No, I'm just kidding. There's no link for that. And why don't you say farewell? Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And stay scared. Oh,
Move it back up.